Day. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, beginning with verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice, and he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who are still in darkness. I am the Lord, this is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing praise to the Lord, a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise to the islands. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. Amen. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them, and I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them, but those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our God, will be turned back in utter shame. Father, today we thank you for your word. I ask, Lord, that you will continue to inspire us with your word. You'll continue to teach us by your word. You'll continue to just allow us the privilege of living out the scripture every day. And Lord, we pray today that the Holy Spirit will unveil the truths of your word, that each one of us will grab the truths that are laid in the pages of scripture, and they'll come alive in us to the point where we'll be inspired to live this life that you've created for us to do. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do in the rest of our time this morning. And we thank you for all that you've done already. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at Isaiah can almost... Yes, sir. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Or come on up here so everybody can hear you. Yeah. Everybody can't hear you, Brad. That's my point.
I can speak louder.
No, you can't. I promise you can't. No, just kidding.
This morning in prayer in the back room, one word kept coming to my head. Just kept coming. And when we were praying for the guys up here, it kept coming. And it didn't seem to be for one of them. And then Aaron came up to me and asked me about that vision I'd had with the fire. And I said, yeah. I said, the one word that was given to me today, I said, and I can't get it, is justice.
You're kidding.
No. No, and I said, it was like where the fire went, there was people in front of the fire, people in the fire, and the people in the back, and where the justice came in, and there was a justice coming across the land, and that's where we're going to fill in the gap. We're going to be there to help pick them, those that come under conviction. Mm. We're going to be there to fill in. It was the word for the day.
Do you want to preach?
Well, yeah, I'd love
no,
it.
No,
yeah.
That is the word that I had reading this. That is the word that stuck out today. Because get this, I'm just going to mess everything up in my notes. The word justice, here's the thing about justice. God isn't going to bring justice according to the American law. So when you think of justice in our world, don't think God's going to answer that way. He's not a court of law. He's not going to listen to both sides. He has already made a decision. And now he's going to make justice. And he's going to bring justice according to the kingdom, not according to our law. So don't look to our law as justice in God's kingdom. You have to divide the two simply because the way we want justice in our world is not the way that God will always bring justice in his kingdom. And so it's really, really important that that we learn to hear what God is saying, because he is going to bring justice, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. Look at this whole, in Isaiah, the whole thing is really referring to Jesus coming. Isaiah, from chapter 40 through 66, it's all referring to Jesus coming and all that he's going to accomplish. Isaiah 1 through the 30 through 39 is really like the Old Testament. Isaiah 40 through 66 is the New Testament. It's really, if you want to picture Isaiah. So in verse chapter 42, this servant that is coming is referring to Jesus. This is what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight." Isn't it fun to know that God delighted in Jesus so much? He delighted in him. Why? Because he was willing to do what his father asked him to do. Here he describes him as a servant, but he's really a son. The Son of God. And yet, isn't it interesting that servant has come out just a little bit more today too as well. But he says, "This is my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations." Now think about justice just for a moment. When I was looking at this, I've never seen this way before in when I've read this scripture, but today it just fits. When I look at justice to the nations, I look at the spiritual justice that God is going to bring because of all that Jesus did on his life, death, and resurrection. He's going to bring justice to the believer. He's going to bring justice to those that are calling upon his name. He's going to bring justice. Why? Because he wants to unveil, he wants to loose whatever it is Jesus purchased on the cross. Maybe you need peace of mind today. You've been stirred and you've been worrying, you've been stressing, you've been doing all the things, and you need peace of mind. I believe God's saying, "I'm going to bring justice today to your mind." Because he purchased peace of mind. Now he wants that to manifest and give you justice so that you and I can walk in a way that honors and pleases him, that we can receive what he's already purchased, and I can have peace of mind. Let's say sickness and disease. Once again, it's not from God. It's because of sin. And God wants justice on sickness and disease in the body. Jesus didn't take all that sickness and disease on his body so he could just stay in heaven. He wants to unveil it and unleash it to bring justice to us here, because that's what was purchased. God wants to bring justice, just like we're going to read in just a second here. I find it interesting how Jesus is described in verse 2. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Interesting picture, isn't it? A bruised reed. I don't know what that actually looks like, other than it's not able to be as strong as it used to be. may have gotten damaged in some kind of whatever situation, but a bruised reed probably doesn't have the strength that it is. Picture a bruised reed being a person in the congregation today. Somebody that's struggling and they've been bruised by society, but when God comes by them, He's not going to say, "Oh, look at the condition you're in, chop." No, He's going to say, a bruised reed He will not break. He's going to come alongside it. He's going to learn how to help and strengthen that reed. And that's what God's going to do for you and for me. He's allowing the body of Christ to come alongside and be that one that comes and brings strength to each other rather than cutting your ear off or cutting or beating or trying to destroy you. He's not coming out and say, "Dan, you low down filthy sinner. How could you be like that? You're supposed to be a Christian. Don't you know any better? Ah, what in the world? Your parents didn't teach you nothing, did they? Or were you not listening to them? What's the deal?" You know, I mean, we could go and do that kind of stuff, but what's that going to produce? Nothing. But if I come alongside him and say, "Dan, what is it that I can do to help you walk? What do you need? My phone is always on. You can call me anytime you want. You need help? I come alongside. I'm not going to destroy the bruised reed. I'm going to come along and walk with the bruised reed." Pretty soon you see these sloughs. You got all these reeds out there. If you had one sticking up by itself, the wind would probably tip it over or do something unless it got strong by itself. But for the most part, you got a whole bunch of reeds out there waving in the wind as the wind is blowing to help each other. And it's like, wow, what a picture. If the church would ever learn to do that, we'd be awesome. Where we wave in God's presence, whatever God's doing, we wave and we wave and we wave. And then all of a sudden, when the storm comes, we don't bust and break, but we help each other so that we grow back up and become strong. And so that's what the picture that I get when I see this, that he says, a bruised reed he will not break. And here's an interesting one, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In other words, you were burning at one time, now you're just smoldering, and all of a sudden now he's saying, even if you're smoldering, I'm not going to come and snuff you out because I want you to get fanned into flame. I want you to get back in the light. I want you to become more than what you ever thought you could before. But he says, I'm going to bring this alongside. Jesus is going to bring that. He's going to allow us to help us to be strong. Because he's going to walk with us. He's going to be with us. He's going to be faithful to us. He's not going to destroy us. He's not up there to take us out. He's up there to destroy the works of the enemy. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the devil's work, not to destroy people. Sometimes we get the picture, we're ready to destroy people and say it's God. And no, that's not the case. We need to destroy the enemy and his work and build the people. We need to strengthen the people. We need to speak truth to the people so that they can take truth and allow it to become something a part of their life so that they aren't completely destroyed by the acts of the enemy. Interestingly enough, as he speaks about Jesus, he says in end of verse 3, in faithfulness he will bring forth justice. You see, God is faithful to his work. He's not up there ready to be like us and to bring justice the way we would bring it. He's up there ready to bring justice the way the kingdom needs it. And the way the kingdom needs it is exactly the way Jesus did things when he was on the earth. He didn't have a whole lot of time for the religious people that didn't care what he was doing. But he had a whole bunch of character about him when he reached out to the lost and the hurting and the dying. He didn't judge them. He came to help them. When we look at the church nowadays, we look at people that do everything that's wrong and we say, well, we wouldn't want them in our church. They're not cleaned up enough to be in our church. Well, then your church stinks. Bottom line, it stinks. Because God will stir and work. He's not going to bruise that reed that's maybe not where they need to be in their life. He's not going to smolder. He's not going to completely snuff out that smoldering wick that has maybe just been through a lot of stuff in their own life, and they come to God and they come to the church, and all of a sudden they all of a sudden, you know, just kind of going, wonder what kind of response I'm going to get. All of a sudden, they're not going to destroy that smoldering wick. Hopefully we can light it up and get it fanned into flame and get burning again. Right? But here's the thing. When God speaks to the believer, He wants you and expects you to bear fruit for Him. And if you're not going to bear fruit under His leadership and tutorship, the Bible says you might be cut off. That's what He says. So get bearing fruit. It's not hard. I shouldn't say it's not hard. That's not probably true. Some days it is hard, isn't it? Hard as we make it, that's true too. But you see, the God wants us to bear fruit for Him. But here's the interesting thing about bearing fruit. If I'm connected to a good root that has a reputation of bearing fruit, how in the world is it that I can't bear fruit? When you think about it, how is it that I can't bear fruit? If I'm connected to a good vine, and if Jesus is the vine, and I'm the branches, and I get to bear fruit, He's already got the fruit seed in Him. When I connect to Him, out of Him will come fruit. So if I say I'm connected to Jesus but have no fruit, that's kind of an oxymoron. Why is that? Because out of Him will bear fruit of righteousness. I'll bear fruit for the kingdom. I'll bear fruit that represents the kingdom. And out of that, I have to stay connected to that vine. I have to stay connected to Him so long, so much that I just bear the fruit that God wants. And if I were to take one of the plants around here that Elner takes care of out in the entryway, if I were to take those plants and every week I come to church, I just pull them out of the pot, say, yep, these are good plants. Stick them back in. What would happen to them? They'd die. You can't come into Christ, pull yourself out of Him, get back into Him, pull yourself out of Him, get back into Him, pull yourself out of Him, and think you're going to grow. It's impossible. I've got to get in Christ, and I've got to stay in Christ. I've got to live in Him. I've got to get all the life out of Him I possibly can, and I'm going to stay with Him. And even though the wind blows and the storms of life come, I'm going to stay in Him. Why? Because I want to stay connected to the one thing that will give me life and life abundantly. The one thing that will cause me to be fruitful. So I have to stay in Him. That's where the work begins. John said it in John 15. He says, remain in Me and I will remain in you, God says. I have to remain in Him. I have to make a decision that I'm going to stay in Him, and He's going to remain in me then, but I have to do my part. I have to remain in Him, which means I have to put boundaries around my life. That when I walk out of these doors today, there's places I won't go. There's things I won't think. There's things I won't say. There's things I won't believe. Why? Because all of them will destroy and pull me away from Christ. And I will not grow. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, you will not grow if you pull yourself away from Christ. You unpot yourself. You cut yourself off from Christ because of what you do, what you say, what you think, all those things. You will not grow. But if I set these boundaries of God's Word around me, bring your Bibles, boys, come here. I need a Bible here, a Bible here, a Bible here, a Bible here. All the way around, stand right in front of me. Turn around. Yep. You behind me? So if I put a boundary around me, how in the world am I going to get out of Christ? I can't. Because I've chosen my boundaries. I knew he could take it. But I've got my boundaries. And so everywhere I go, so whether if I go right to Tyler, my boundary's the Word. If I go front ahead, Nathan's my Word. He's got my Word. If I go to my left, Dan's got my Word. If I go behind me, I've got my Word with Tyler. No, sorry, Brandon. I forgot where I was at. You were my right-hand man, right? So then I've got my Word, which gives me that boundary so that I stay away and I hold off at bay everything that the enemy would want to come and get me. You see? And that's the power of the Word. So if you don't spend time in the Word, you're pretty good chance you ain't going to grow. And then you're not going to bear fruit. And if you're not going to bear fruit, God can't do much with you. I don't know hardly anybody that would continue to plant something that doesn't bear fruit. Well, I think I'm just going to try it again this year. I didn't get nothing last year, but all you farmers. Yeah, I put a whole bunch of seed in the ground, but nothing happened. But I'm going to try it again this year. Oh, yeah, real great idea. No, you want to put stuff in there that bears fruit, that grows and becomes fruitful and productive. And that's the only way I can become fruitful and productive is if I stay in the boundary of what God has set up for my life so I can mature and grow and become all that He wanted me to be. Because God is faithful. He wants me to grow. He wants you to grow. And the only way we can grow is if we plant God's Word in us. Okay? Thanks, guys. Yeah.
If you take the Bible out of one of the hands, there's something in the vision that don't fit.
Right. Yeah. That was good. You all had your Bibles. That was really good. Super. So he says he will bring forth justice and he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice. Where? There's no justice needed in heaven. That's perfect in heaven. Where do we need justice? Here. We need justice here. We need thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We need justice here. And when we pray for God's kingdom, what did he say his kingdom will produce? Turn over to page verse 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand and I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. A light for the Gentiles. Once we become in Christ, we become a child of God. Now we are part of His kingdom. And when we're a part of His kingdom, our responsibility is to shine to those that are not a part of God's kingdom. This is talking about Jews and Gentiles. That's the same principle. The Jews were God's chosen people. The Gentiles were people that didn't know anything about God, didn't follow God, didn't really care. And to be honest, half the time the Jews didn't either. But the reality is that God wants us to shine the light and be a light for the Gentiles, to those that don't know Him. How many Gentiles do we have in here today? People that don't know Christ. Not your Savior. Yes, my point. We can all shine to each other, and that's great. But where does God want us to shine? He wants to shine in the places where there's people that don't know Him. They're not less people. They're not bad people. They're just people that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus come? To be a light and salt to the world. And He came to brighten people's lives with something that will help them to live out their life so they can see where they're going. And He gave them flavoring. He gave them ability to be seasoned with salt so that the flavor of things could be completely... Did you put salt in anything you made today, John?
No.
Oh, no. So it's not going to taste good. No. But you see, seasoning, that's what it's for. So when we become that to the world, to the Gentiles, those are people that don't know God, once again, that doesn't make you better than them. We're all on the same page. It's just that we have a relationship. And out of my relationship with God, I will love to share that with you. I will love to share that with you. Why? Because it's the greatest thing going. Has been the greatest thing since Jesus came and gave His life. It's the greatest thing going. And guess what? When we share that life with others, they too can begin to have this light in their life. And that's why we're bring justice. We get to be a part of the justice system because Jesus died for everybody, didn't He? Not just for a select few, as some teach. Be careful of what you listen to. Some teach that there's only a select few. No. 1 Peter says, or was it 2 Peter? Help me out. 2 Peter 3, look it up. You just did? Yeah, go for it. Where he says that he came to bring salvation to all people. Not just to some, to all. The Jews and the Gentiles alike. So the reality is he came to bring that light to everyone. And here's what's going to happen. Verse 6, I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison and to release those from the dungeon, those who sit in darkness. That's the responsibility of the church. That's a part of what we get to do. That's a part of what God wants us to do, is to be that light so we can shine that light to others and to free those captives. Who are those in captive in prison? Those are in bondage to sin. They don't know Jesus. If they're to die today, they'd go to hell. They're in bondage to sin. They're blind. What does Paul write in Romans? He said, I want you to share the gospel so that the blinders may be taken off. Maybe that's Corinthians, I'm not sure. But the blinders, the people are blind and they need to be able to see. That's the same principle Jesus came to bring, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of darkness out in our world. I came out of it. You came out of it. We all came out of darkness. We all came out of those places where we were at our last wits, or we finally came to our wits and we finally understood that without Jesus Christ, I'm going to hell. And if I don't walk with Him and I don't talk with Him and I don't live with Him, I'm not going to make heaven. Because God didn't create me to live and do my own thing. He created me to be a response to the very things that are the kingdom of heaven. And it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, I've got a part to play in bringing heaven to earth. So this week, make that a prayer when you walk out your door. Or maybe you should do it before you get out of bed, because you might have to do something for your spouse or your kids. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that everything that when this day is done, Lord, you'll look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you won't have to go back and worry about God being mad at you or anything like that, because you just dedicated that day to Him and you allow Him to do that in you. And when you do that, you're going to bless people. Elner, you're going to bless people when you hear God's voice, aren't you? When Elner's out and about and she's going around and she prays for people all the time, and she's just being led by the Spirit to do that. And she's just gotten so bold. I appreciate that about you. How bold you are. It's just like, well, let me pray for you. And you don't care what people think. If they don't like it, too bad. Right? Yeah, that's what I thought. But she's just bold and she just steps out, and that's because of the leading of the Spirit. And we can do that very same thing and just be a blessing. I have a feeling, Elner, that sometimes when you think you need to stop and see somebody, it's not your idea, it's God's. It's God's. And I just love that. How free you make your day to do what needs to be done. I know you're busy too, but you just allow God to do that, and I just really appreciate that. Allowing God to do what needs to be done. He says, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Isn't that interesting? He says He's not going to give His glory to another. So in other words, anything that's not a part of God or not a part of what He wants done is not going to be blessed by God. So that means I can literally live my days doing my thing as a believer and not have God bless anything I do, because I'm doing my thing, not His. And that really doesn't go over well in the Christian community. What? I'm a believer. Don't you think God's on my side? I think He is on your side. But if you're going to do your thing and not His, I promise you, He can't help you. He can't help you. What do you do to your kids when they don't do what you ask? Some form of discipline. Why? Because it was a great idea? Oh, kids, just go ahead. That's great. Yeah, just go ahead and disobey me. That's fine. Yeah. You'll still get inheritance. Yeah. Probably not. Why? Because disobedience does not produce fruit. It doesn't benefit anybody. It benefits the kingdom of the devil. So when I walk in my everyday life, I have to learn how to surrender and be obedient to the voice of God every single day, all throughout the day. No matter how I feel, no matter how good or bad a day it's been, I surrender, because my spirit man, I have taught and I have trained by the Word of God to become bigger than how I feel. To be bigger than what I see. I mean, it's always interesting to watch people who get a bad news report of an accident or some kind of world event. Did you hear? It becomes so big in our eyes. It's like, what's going to happen next? In my mind, I'm going, and your point is? Why? Because I know my God is bigger. I don't care what you see. It's not bigger than my God. And I don't have anything to worry or fear about because I've already established in my mind, guess what? God is bigger. And that sounds really tough. Like I'm tough. I'm not. But I know that this is tougher than anything. That this is tougher than anything. This is what I need to rely on now that things are going fine. None of us are sick. We're all healthy. We're all doing fine. Now's the time to establish that. Don't wait until tragedy comes and say, oh, I just don't know what God's going to do. No, I already know what God's going to do. I know He's going to be faithful. I know He's going to be trustworthy. I know He's going to be dependable. Why? Because He's not stressed out. He's not worried about what's taking place in my life. He already knows the next step that needs to take place. And what I need to do is dethrone my flesh and my thoughts and power my spirit by the Word of God and say, Lord, whatever it is You want me to do to walk through this, I ask for Your help in this. And that's easy to say and hard to do. Especially when things are difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying if things are going fine in your life, get that established in you now. So that when trials and tribulations do come your way, you don't just collapse and fall apart, but you just come to that place where you say, okay, Lord, this is what I've been feeling, but my spirit man tells me and the Word of God tells me that You're always faithful. You're always dependable. I can trust in You no matter what happens. If you were with Joseph in the prison, if you were with Noah building an ark for 100 years when everybody's laughing at him, if you were with Elijah when there was a famine for 3 years and you fed him, if you were with all those guys, I don't think you're going on vacation anytime soon. So I thank You that You're going to be faithful to me. And I have to establish that now. I have to get that in me now so that when those times come, I'll know that God will be faithful tomorrow. If this church closed tomorrow because of me, or for whatever reason, I would not have a worry in the world. You know why? I've already established that God is faithful. If God said close the doors tomorrow, so what? It's not mine. I've given it to Him. If He decides to close it tomorrow, so be it. It's fulfilled its purpose. Let God do what He wants with it. Don't get so attached to this stuff in this world that it's like, man, I don't know if I could live if I wasn't here. No, I'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. You'll have some adjustments to make, but you'll be fine. Why? Because God is in control. He knows how to establish in us what we need. And so I find it interesting this morning that God loves to bring justice. Justice. And I'm not going to go any farther. I'm going to let you just read some of the rest of that chapter in Isaiah 42. But the last one says, verse 8, I am the Lord. That is My name. I will not give My glory to another or My praise to idols. You know what I think about that? I want that to become as powerful as the word cancer has been in our society. Because if you hear cancer, everybody goes, ah! It just paralyzes us. Why? Does it really have that much power? Yeah. It does, because we've given it power. But when I hear God's name and I hear the name of Jesus, I should go, ah! Because God is bigger. God's bigger. And I know that's easy to say. But somehow we've got to get to the point where we shut off the news. And we shut off the radio. And we shut off all the naysayers of what God's kingdom can or can't do. And we begin to hear what God says He can do. And we just get, oh, well, that's not too hard for my God. He's not worried, so why should I be? You know what I'm saying? So let's pray that God toughens this up a little bit, huh? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You are faithful. I thank You that You're trustworthy. I thank You that You're a solid rock, that You're a sure foundation. I thank You that with You, nothing is impossible. And Lord, I pray that You become so big in our spirit man that our flesh man just bows its knee because it's not going to succeed. That no matter what area of life we're facing this day, whether it's finances, whether it's job or it's family or whatever the case might be, when we say that name that is above every name, that name of Jesus, we know that at any moment, any time, anything in our life can change because God is bigger than all those things put together. And so, Lord, I pray that You'd help me to grow and help this congregation to grow. Help us to become all that You had in mind. Help us to be all that You designed us to be as we obey and hear and know what it is You are saying. And so, Lord, as we walk out these doors, we dedicate this week to You. Lord, that every day of our life will continue to be Yours, no matter what it looks like, no matter what comes our way. We thank You that You're going to help us to walk through it. Because You're big enough, You're strong enough, and You're capable enough to help us to get beyond the emotions, beyond the wisdom, the lack of wisdom, the things that we face every day, so that we can let this day be honoring and pleasing to You. And so, Lord, thank You for those that have gone before us, that have set the standard, like Joseph and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Elijah and right on down the line. Thank You for their examples, Lord. And I pray that we can be an example to the generations that follow us, that they will see the faith that we have and they'll be inspired because of the stories that have been told of Your faithfulness and Your power. So, Lord, thank You for helping us this day. And, Lord, if anybody is struggling in an area today, we thank You that because they might be maybe in the picture of a bruised reed or a smoldering wick, Lord, Your purpose is not to break them or to smother them out. Your plan is to build them up and strengthen them. And, Lord, let that be this body's purpose as well. That we would build and strengthen and we would cause others to grow rather than be destroyed because of our comments, because of our words and our actions, Lord. I just thank You for helping us to do that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. If you are struggling today and you want prayer, come on up. We'll be glad to pray with you. But be a blessing as you go. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll see you again next week.